First Hashem says, I want to go to the land, north, south, east, west, right? And I'm going to give you the land to you and your children. And then later on, he said, I want you to walk around the land, to its length and its breadth.
We mentioned that it said that seeing is for like the children and walking is for Avram, but we didn't mention walking.
Okay, so let's go to the why. So the Kliyakar says, okay, I went to the Kliyakar. Which we have the Kliyakar. Turn to Kliyakar.
I don't know where it is.
I believe it's. If you have the Kliyakar in the regular language, it's the second path, it's the second column. It's not the word Vakar Velai, I believe. I think it's Vakar Velai.
It's still for $35.
Yeah, Vakar Velai. Yeah.
Every day.
I'm not including Sora. Yeah, Vakar Velai. Yeah, I got it.
Vakar Velai. Ever seen a Kliyakar of a Kar Velai?
Zalman,
got it?
Or, yeah.
Zalman!
No.
Let's get Zalman.
Zalman!
Now, what did you mess up with Reb Mendel with his Ma Rabba? What did you mess up?
Come on, Zalman!
Come on.
I didn't rather
Mendel.
What?
Oh. Zalman!
Never blame Reb Zalman.
I had a feel like one. Yeah, what's about? The computer's not working?
He's
having some.
He erased the
burning. He was what?
Burning difficulties.
What difficulties?
Trying to burn the DVD.
He's having burning trouble.
Burning.
Why, it's not good?
He was having burning
pains.
Burning anxiety?
He's annoyed.
Like making copies.
Okay.
Saying burning because it sounds cool.
Alright guys.
I'm not doing it myself.
Start reading, Kelvin. Now.
What?
Card in life.
Where?
Out.
Nice.
Let's go. That card in life.
Which pasta?
Yud Zion.
Okay.
New, read. Okay, basically, we're starting with the answer to the question we asked yesterday. He's going to say one Yisoid, basically, and then we'll go from there. Go on. What does that mean?
HaKadosh Baruch Hu
was over
the land.
He's what?
He gave the land to Avram.
Why are you late, Kirsten?
He wanted to show him the land so that he can give him two things of Tawelis.
But there were two purposes in giving the land. Go on. One is a ruchni is a gift, and that you're kind of with ri'ya lavad, just by looking at it.
And the
physical one. Everybody know what da'ish and mitzvah means? It's from Gemara, really. Da'ish and mitzvah means to da'ish means like dosh. What does dash mean? What?
Thresh.
Right, what's a tread? Right, the tread. A mitzvah. What mitzvah is?
What?
Mitzvah.
A mitzvah. Not a
mitzvah. Mitzvah, well.
Mitzvah? A mitzvah?
Bein ha-mitzvah. What's mitzvah? What's mitzvah mean? Border. Very good. Excellent, you guys are terrific, okay? So dash ha-mitzvah means?
In between cells.
No, the dash hamitzvah means
the door chain.
One to walk in between.
Dash hamitzvah, no, mitzvah means borders. Bein hamitzvah means between the borders, but mitzvah means a border. So dash hamitzvah means to tread on the borders. That is a kinyan. One way to be kind of property is by walking along the borders. Okay, so yeah, go daish hamitzvah. So, it has to be, somebody has to be willing to sell to you.
Wait, so he said chazaka, why don't we just like walk around the back?
No, you're going
to have to walk. Everybody's side. Shh. Okay, having said that, guys, so what he's saying is there are two kinyanim over here. What is a kinyan re'iyah? A kinyan of our sight itself, and that's a ruchni second kinyan. Well, let's put it this way. For ruchni, you'd be kind of with sight itself. And the other kinyan was to own physically Eretz Yisrael. And that you have to walk around the borders. By the way, it's interesting that all you who learned Bava Metzia know there's a Hami in the Gemara that maybe you could be kona an item through Re'iyah Bilvad. Remember that? Remember that Gemara at all? No? Anyway, you can't. Lamaisi, you can't. But the fact is a hamina means that this obviously means some reason why you should be able to. And now you know why. Because Riyah is a form of a kinyan. It works for Ruchnis. It may not work for Gashmi, is what Gemara is saying. It doesn't work for Mitzvah. But there's a Hamina that would work, because Riyah is a kin. You can be Kona. You can acquire something. But right now, we're saying the only you can acquire is physical. Ruchnis, rather. You can acquire Ruchnis through Riyah. And so therefore, keep going, Gil.
Want to translate? The Ruchni is down here, and also connected the base of Mikdash Shamal. Hashem, Paul Hashem, Machon
Hashem. The Rishlaim Shalmat is Mechuvin. The Rishlaim Shalmala. That means that there's some Ruchnis, like an aspect of Rishlaim in the base of Mikdash that corresponds to the Ruchnis Lamaila. And Hashem is telling Abraham, I want you to be kona of that. I want you to acquire that now. Keep going.
Melach Alyon Biyakim is Barat Zeno in the host.
So we already walked off the yoga though. Sorry.
I wasn't going out to get it. I actually needed my bag. I wasn't
going
to need it.
No,
it works
anyway. Go on,
yeah. Who bought it for the most?
It was Moshe. It was your shrine. It was even holier.
Sorry, right. If you find it, buy it. If I,
right, it was there. I did take it from him.
You did?
Yeah.
You took his thing?
I stole it.
Was Gnabel?
Stolen up
there. Well, yeah. I mean, the same way, like. If I own something and I lend it to someone, if I take it back, like it's not Mamash stealing. It's like I let him borrow it and I took it back.
How do you lend somebody yogurt?
And I took it. Well, actually, it's not true. I took it from his car. He saw me with it. Like, I'm gonna have this. He's like, okay, that's not stealing. I mean,
yeah, but Sachmoid.
Right.
It's only a lot.
Right, it's only a lot.
For a lousy 69 cents, or even less. Okay.
It's only
And it could be Gneva also, because it could be too embarrassed to say no, and that's called Gneva, because it's called forcing. Especially Gneva also. Yeah, other than that, you're doing pretty good. Not bad. Yeah, okay. So bottom line is,
I like when German owes me favors. So.
It's true. The man likes me being in debt to him.
Now you rationalize even worse. Okay, good. Okay, so bottom line is that he's saying the first kinyan is a kinyan ruchnius, and that's why I told him to take, and that's ver'il l'chud sagat. And with sight alone, you need, and then he says take a long walk, because that, you need a chazakah for. Alright? Okay, so.
Take a long walk.
I'm sorry,
one second.
Speak at that point. Take a long walk.
Anybody who looks at a holy site, miyad nislavesh ruach ha'kedusha, he becomes imbibed with the ruach tahayru ha'kedusha. All right. So Hashem said, look, by looking, you'll acquire that ruchnius. All right. However, and that you can't get that. V'leib b'chol mokam beres al zeichel slingus there. You can't achieve the slings anywhere, but after by harira. Right, where you can see real, all right. That was the Te'elos Ruchni, and that Te'elos Ruchni. He goes on to the next paragraph by the page. But Te'elos Ruchni zeh lo yosim izarad oylam. He says this Te'elos Ruchni, this purpose, this Ruchni is like a purpose, will never leave him or his children. Ki at bezman she beis amigdash shalmata eino bebinyanoi bikol magon habayis amigdash shalmala mechav negu tzvani leisal oylam. Even if the beis amigdash shalmata is destroyed, the base mikdash hamala is still there, and therefore that ruchnius still enjoys. Eretz still enjoys that ruchnius because the base mikdash hamala, and that will be there forever. Because man yermen hashefa, and that's why that flow constantly goes to the children of Klaisol in that area. And that's why people till this very day will gravitate to the Klaisol. He says because the makom is kodesh because of lamala. Even lamata is nothing. But there's still something to be gained by being there. And that Hashem says, Sana inecha, please lift up your eyes. Because it involves sana, lifting up, it's a raising, it's a ruchni, it's a thing. Alright? and you'll get shlemus over there. And that shlemus is guaranteed for you and your children forever. Then you have the second kinyan. That's the kinyan gashmi. The kinyan gashmi, for that you have to walk around the borders. Hashem tells Avraham you have to walk around. But the kinyan gashmi is not forever. We know there's something called galus, when Bnei Yisrael lose the privilege of being in Eretz Yisrael. Right? So that's why it does not say I oila, zerachara forever. So again, that's a short order of the kliyakar. That when it comes to Ruchni, Hashem says, look and see. Because Ruchni acquires with sight. And that's Lazaracha Ad Oilam. That you'll have forever. Because that's a Ruchni second thing. And that sun, they'll lift up your eyes. Lashon Ruchni, lift up your eyes. Raise them up. Ruchnius. Whereas for the physical Gashmius of acquiring Eretz Yisrael, that already requires Daisha Mitzvah. That requires walking around the borders. Hashem said, walk around the land, La'arka Ulurachba. And that Hashem does not guarantee Lazarecha Ad Oilam, because there's no guarantee. In terms of Golis, we get kicked out of Eretz Yisrael. Alright? That's what he said. I think it's a very nice shot. It could also be, by the way, I think I added, that's why for Ruchnis it says south, west, east, north. Whereas for the Gashmi it says just La'arka Ulurachba. Arka Rachba, length and breadth, are clearly physical. That's how you cover something physically, right? That's a physical way of doing something. You go through the length of the breath. When you talk about east, south, north, west, you're talking about directional. That's more ruchni. That's more abstract. That's more for the ruchni.
Southwest.
Okay.
Northwest.
Okay. North by northwest. Okay. Anyway.
Rabbi, is speech spiritual or physical?
What do you guys think?
Physical.
It's spiritually physical.
Because it's physical.
Yeah, that's a combination.
Well, oh, that's interesting.
Speech is a physical act, but you make it spiritual by yourself.
You're saying
depends. Learning
is thinking physical or physical?
Yeah, there's the big one. Is thinking spiritual or physical?
You know, it's physical.
We asked the life friend, he gave an answer.
What do you say?
About it, spiritual speaking.
And?
But you
and physical. And physical.
No, about thinking is spiritual. Speech
What are you saying?
Thinking is
spiritual. It goes like this. Moshe Rabbeinu was a stutterer. Why was he a stutterer? Morale said, that's the Medrash. Morale said something else. No, I'm not saying it's wrong, but you have to know the Medrash is much. Morale said, much deep shot. Morale said like this. A person has the intellect, Seichel, which by the way is Makusha, which is connected to spiritual, clearly. It says Neshama resides in the Seichel. A person has.
Wait.
A person has the physical, right? His body and the actions. The Rambam calls all Hilchas, Nedarim and Shua, calls it Hilchas Hafla'a. In fact, that's based on the Mili Pasuk of the Torah. Ki Yafli Ish Lindar Neder. It's a plea. What's the plea? So the Torah actually says, Umafli La'asois. The Torah says, what's the Mafli La'asois? The Mafli La'asois, he says, plea is, he says, plea is when you're able to have a guf that contains an neshama, that's a plea. Because how could a physical thing contain something that's, in theory, infinite? So he calls that a plea. So plea is something wondrous. The Rambam refers to speech as hafla, based on the wording of the psukim, ish kiyaf lindar, because the plea of speech is that you're taking something intellectual, associated with neshama, you're combining the physical, of a physical world, speaking, and you're combining it together. The idea of meshing the two together is a plea. It's not a coincidence, I think Morale says this, I know Rashiva said this, I know I'm quoting Morale, not a coincidence that the throat and the voice box is right here, which is right between the intellect and the rest of the body. Because the voice is supposed to be the bridge between the intellect and the physical. And says the Morale, that's good for why Moshe Rabbeinu was a stutterer. Why? You ever see when somebody's, his thoughts are racing really quick? So you go, you can't get the words out? Moshe Rabbeinu's intellect, he didn't have the balance between the intellect and the physical. Speech is a balance between physical and spiritual, or physical and the intellect. Moshe Rabbeinu was an imbalance. His intellect was so far ahead of his physical that the speech couldn't come out correctly. The starting was because the intellect was racing ahead of the physical. That's how Morale learns.
Right? If someone stutters,
I'm not saying all stutterers.
But I'm asking.
No, I'm saying not. Okay. There could be a physical ailment in stuttering too. But in Moshe Rabbeinu's case, that stuttering was because the intellect was way ahead of the physical. It could be every stutterer has a problem of adjusting the intellect to the physical. That's true. I'm not sure if because intellect is so superior, but clearly that there's There's a lack of sync between the intellect and the physical. That's clear. There's a lack of sync when you stutter. In Moshe Rabbeinu's case, the lack of sync was because the intellect was so superior. All right? You with me?
Wait, so Rabbi's saying that intellect is spiritual? Is purely spiritual?
I mean, a scientist will say you could look at a brain and see chemical reactions in the brain. But that doesn't mean that it's... That might be just a physical manifestation of a spiritual action. Doesn't mean it.
Fine, but there's still some physicality to it.
Scientifically, yes. No one's arguing that.
There's no question about it. There are brain patterns. You monitor right. Brain, but a person thinks.
Yeah. So when a person thinks, it's a physical action, but
I wouldn't call it a physical action.
Okay, here. It's a spiritual action, but it goes about through physical means.
There are chemicals that are going on. The brain is using it. No question. When you think, you're using a brain. The brain is physical. Right?
Yeah, but, so when you think, you're using your brain.
No, a thought is spiritual, not a physical thing.
Then how come you...
Well, he's talking about the thought itself.
Yeah, I'm talking about the thought itself.
The thought itself.
Huh?
His paranoia of thought.
Right?
Like, paranoia of thought. When somebody reads something, right, and they remember that word or that letter, or like, where is that going? Is that going into your brain?
Into the brain, yes.
Okay, so that memory of what you just learned, that's physical, right?
Yes!
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah,
thought.
Thoughts are not physical.
Okay.
No, it's fine. I have
you literally just
heard it. I thought.
It's Yomim.
Okay, everybody, side. Let's now go. We finished. We're now up to the next payroll. Is he Dalit? What is it now? No, where is he? Dalit? VBVM Ruffle?
Yes.
All right. Perik and Dalit. Okay, let me give you a little intro first.
I know, Lizzie.
Have quiet, please. Let me give you a little intro. We're going to learn up the first 10 psukim together. We're not going to be medayik so much in every word. It's I'm going to treat it as one idea, and then we're going to go to the after 10 psukim. We'll go to the more into the psukim puzzle by puzzle. Anyway, the first 10 psukim, and we will read them and learn them a little bit. Deal with the melchama between 4 kings and 5 kings, and the 4 kings eventually defeat the 5 kings. And they end up taking Lot, kidnap him, and Avram, because he made this promise to always be by the side of Lot, he honors his commitment and goes and saves Lot, right? Which is a miraculous feat in of itself, and that's so we're going to get to that part. What?
Why's that miraculous? Because he went and saved.
It was a very he and just a handful of people destroyed the whole 4 kings.
Yes, it's miraculous that his army was able to.
Correct.
Not that he went over.
Correct. Now, the Torah goes into great detail, quiet please, between the 4 kings and the 5 kings. The Torah lists the names of the 4 kings and 5 kings, and you be sure the Torah lists the names because those names are significant. And Rashi will in fact tell us what those names signify as well. But it's just, we'll just pay attention to a couple numbers. 4 kings against 5 kings, and it says also that they were enslaved for 12 years, and in the 13th year, they were able to free themselves. They had a Muhammad, they freed themselves. So those numbers are significant numbers. 4 kings against the 5 kings. According to some in Svarim, it's the Dalad versus the Hay. The 4 against the 5. And I think everyone else says this. Everyone who says this.
No.
Dalad is this figure here. Hay is this figure over here. The difference between Dalad and Hay is the letter Yud, basically. The letter Dalet represents the physical, like 4 corners of the earth. It also shaped like a quadrant, actually. So it represents spatial and physicality.
Uh-huh.
And the letter He represents, the letter Yud, by the way, is non-spatial. It's a dot, basically. It doesn't take a space. Moral calls it, basically, a spiritual letter because it's non-spatial. And the idea of the letter He is taking spirituality and infusing it into the physical world. It's not a coincidence that the Ish has a Yud, and the Isha has a Hey, because the man, really, the way he gets spiritual is through a Yud, which means connecting totally spiritual. A man needs to be spiritual by almost removing himself from the physical world. He's got to go to a base medrash, he's got to go to a base chesed, and so he connects directly to spiritual. Whereas the woman has a Kayach to take the Yud and put it into Hey. The woman is the ability to take spirituality and infuse it into her home. To take, you know, everything she does, while it seems to be raising children and housewife, and for many years was belittled as, what are you doing? But we understand that what she's doing is she's infusing all ruchnis in the physical world, which something a man's not even capable of doing as well as a woman can do. So the man gets the yud, the woman gets the hay. But anyway, the bottom line is that the hay represents this idea. So when you have the four kings against the five kings, it's from talk about, it's really, it's the dalal versus the hay, physical versus spiritual. So just be aware that as we learn this story, that even though it plays itself out on a battlefield in the physical world, it surely has some more spiritual ramifications, which is above my pay scale, but it definitely talks about this on that level. Also, the 12 and 13 is significant too, because you all know 13 is the year of Bar Mitzvah, very good. And when does a person get his Yetzer Tov?
Bar Mitzvah.
Bar Mitzvah. So essentially he's enslaved and entrapped through the 12th year. He becomes free the 13th year.
Wait, this is
Yetzer Tov? Yeah. Yeah. Yetzer Hara you get, when do you get Yetzer Hara?
When you're born.
In the
world. You come out of the womb when you're born.
Huh?
When you're born. Yeah.
When, interesting. So the Gemara discusses. There's a machlekes in the Gemara. There is a machlekes, guys. I need quiet. There is a machlekes in the Gemara. Mr. Kellerman, what are you doing? Just leave it alone. Turn around. I was going to bring the entire class bagels. Okay, now. I didn't like bagels. All right. Bottom line is like this. The machlekes in the Gemara, when does the Yetzer happen? Come. Does it come into a child while it's in the mother's womb? Or does it come into the child when the child is actually born, at the moment it's born? And the Gemara says that if the Yetzer Hara was already in the mother's womb,
then it wouldn't be able to learn the Torah with the mouth.
No, it doesn't say that. It says that it would be kicking to get out much sooner. That's what the Gemara says. Alright. So what does that mean? So Maral Gadda says a very deep thing. Maral says like this. Maral says that something interesting about the Yetzer Hara, which is the Yetzer Hara only operates in a vacuum. The Yetzer Hara only comes in when nothing else is going on. Let me say that in many, many ways. When a person has too much time on his hands, the Yetzer Hara comes in. When a person dies and his neshama leaves him, there's a vacuum. That's when tumah comes. Tumah sets in, right? When the Torah says that this bar, this pit that they threw Yosef in was bar reik, ain by mayim, right? There was no water in it. So what does Chazal say? Avon nechashim v'karam yesh by it. But there were snakes and scorpions that went into the pit. Why? Because an empty pit doesn't remain empty for long. If there's no mayim in there, which represents Torah, that's when the chashim come in. And so too with a person's mind. If a person's mind is empty, that's when bad thoughts come in. When you fill your mind with good thoughts, then the bad minds don't have a place, your bad thoughts don't have a place to settle. In fact, the Baal Shem Tov even says, Baal Shem says, if a person has bad thoughts in his head, you can't try to get rid of them by saying, oh, let me get rid of those bad thoughts, because the more you think about getting rid of the bad thoughts, the more you reinforce the bad thoughts in your head. But he says like this, that the brain cannot really think two thoughts simultaneously. And therefore, if you think a good thought, that automatically will push out the bad thought. So don't try to focus on pushing out a bad thought. That's not going to be helpful. It's not going to work. Think a positive thought, tell you whatever cases, and that automatically, that bad thought will no longer exist. Be it as it may, the bottom line is, the Yetzer Hara, the Satan, abhors a vacuum, just like nature abhors a vacuum on the physical level. It's not coincidence. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the physical world to give us an inkling of how the spiritual world works. And if in the physical world nature bores a vacuum, that also means in the spiritual world that tumah bores a vacuum, and when there's a vacuum, tumah Yetzer Hara sets in. That's why, says the Maral, the Yetzer Hara only comes after a child is born. Because kol zman the child is in the mother's womb, it's in this process of development and growing. As long as there's no stagnancy, the Yetzer Hara can't come in. It's only the moment the child is born, at that moment there's a moment of stagnancy, that's where the Yetzer comes. That's how morale learns. But be it as it may, certainly the Yetzer only has a place, only finds a place, only creeps in.
What's Pshat? There's no Yetzer Tov. Like you see little kids, they do.
Ah, so what is Pshat that little kids do good things? That's strictly chinuch. That's strictly chinuch. That's where it comes from. It's not the Yetzer Tov motive in him, it's not Yetzer Tov, but it is strictly chinuch. The chinuch of a parent, or whoever else it is, for good or for bad, but hopefully for good, is really what impresses the child to do the right thing. But there is no Yetzer Tov. Now, does the child have a neshama? Certainly. Before, we're not saying there's not a neshama until it's born. But that's not the Eitz type. The Eitz type is a particular drive to do good. The Shem is just the
So why don't we feel a change when we become Bar Mitzvah?
Because it's not a physical change.
We feel that we want to do better.
It's I don't know. You know what?
No, it's harder.
First of all, I'm not sure that's not necessarily true. I mean, I think there are many Bar Mitzvah boys that they feel very inspired day of the Bar Mitzvah. Maybe that's part of it. I don't know. But it is subtle. It's subtle. It's not going to be something that's going to hit you over the head. But anyway, so the bottom line is the Yetzirah doesn't happen until 13. The Yetzirah happens as soon as the child is born, rather. The Yetzirah, which is the drive that pushes you to good, doesn't happen until later on. Of course, a child has an Neshama before 13 as well, obviously. But the drive to do good is beyond the Neshama. That extra drive to battle the Yetzirah happens afterwards. Okay, so 12 and 13, that's the battle between the 12 kings versus the 13. Oh, I'm sorry, the 12 years versus the 13 years. They were enslaved for 12 years, because for 12 years they were enslaved by the Yetzirah. The 13th year, they were able to free themselves. Some see in this the idea that when you get your Yetzirah type, you're able to free yourself from the clutches of the Yetzirah. Okay, those are just, I'm just pointing out certain numbers that the Torah is going to emphasize, and even though we're not going to spend time on it now, Zal Svisin is there for a reason. Okay, so now the Torah is going to tell us that the four kings battle the five kings. And the Torah is going to go through the names of the four kings. Somebody will read for us, what's the code? Want to read the first pasuk?
Zalman.
This is Bar Mitzvah.
Super Bar Mitzvah Parsha? Nice.
Yeah, you need to leave it also.
What'd you read?
I don't know why you didn't tell us.
What? Months ago. Could you read, please? Let him read. Quiet.
Zalman Ben Ben Tzion. Does
everybody
know what my
name is? Is that Zalman?
It is. Oh, it's Zanville.
Zanville?
Yeah, Zanville.
Yeah, it's Zanville.
Call
me Shlomo.
Huh?
Yeah, Shlomo. I'm making names now.
Read, new. read, new, read, let's go.
You just
stole
my
commission.
That's
the weird.
That's
the
weird.
That's too bad. Shlomo, read. Give him his chumash and read. Yona, we wasted my time. Shlomo, do you have a second name Zambo? That's a joke.
No, it's Shlomo Zambo.
I mean, in my vote, because it's Shlomo, but I thought maybe people would call it Zambo. Do you prefer me going Zambo or Shlomo? Shlomo, there you go.
Zambo.
Or Shlomo. Shlomo, read. Let's go.
It's
Zabul, and
someone
else
would be called
Zabul.
Quiet, new.
Even named Amalchanar. It was named the days of Amalchanar. Yehu Malchalasar, Kedar Omer Malchalom, Sidon Malchalim.
Okay, so it says there were four kings. Read them again. It was Amraphel. Keep going. What? Amraphel Melech Shinar. Go on. Who? You go on. Shnu. Kidlav Melech. Gilad. Get one. And Tidal Melech Goyim. By the way, and Melech Goyim is a strange one of more because king over nations is strange.
Well, what are you
Mayor, quiet. Read, new.
Rashi.
Yeah,
reading.
So read it, new.
Rashi.
Who Nimrod? He was Nimrod. Samarval was Nimrod. Shomar, Lavrom, to Tavrom.
Paul. Stop. Okay. So Amraphel is Nimrod, the famous Nimrod. Here he's first as Amraphel. Why they don't call him Nimrod is interesting. And why they
first. Nimrod comes from the word Nimrod.
I understand that. So Rashi says, Amraphel, because the word Amarpol, he told Avram, I want you to dive into this fiery furnace. I want you to dive into this fiery furnace. And that's why he's called Amraphel. But again, we have the right to ask, but that was kind of like a nickname. I don't think that's the right word, but a surname, whatever you want to call him. But his name was Nimrod. Why not call him Nimrod over here? And number two, obviously the Torah over here, wants to alert us to the fact that he's the one that told Avram to go into the fire. And it's important because we're going to see that Nimrod was obviously the arch nemesis of Avram. And the Torah is trying to tell us that now, because we'll see that even the capturing of Lot, the Zohar tells us, is really because they want to get back at Avram. They really couldn't care about Lot. It was their way of getting back at Avram. We'll see why later on. So Amraphel is, in a way, reminding us that the motive of Nimrod later on is because he's the nemesis of Avram. So here, the Torah doesn't call him Nimrod, but rather Amraphel, because the Torah wants to key us in later on for the motive of where the kings are after. When the kings are after Stone, why they were, when they were after Lot, why they were after Lot, is really they were after Avram. By the way, it's also interesting. Amar Pol, he said, what does Pol mean?
Go.
What?
Fall.
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 Now, he didn't tell him to fall into the fire.
He jumped in.
Jump in, right? What is Amar Pol? Why is he, why Pol?
Because he wants him to fall.
Maybe it was a pit.
It's not him physically.
So say jump.
He wanted his reputation to fall.
Yeah.
His whole reputation was like a smack in the face to Nimrod.
Paul Allies.
He wanted him to convert.
Basically, Nimrod was God, and Avram said
I think the pshat is that Nimrod wanted to minimize the Kiddush Hashem, or the grandeur and the strength of an Avram that's willing to throw himself into a fire furnace. That itself is going to, you know, that's he didn't want that either. He wants to destroy Avram and say your whole God is worthless and you know, everything doing is nothing. If he's willing to die for his God, that might make people set up a notice. But if you say pull, fall in, meaning I don't want you jumping in and people seeing you as mom is doing this tremendous act of self sacrifice. Fall in. That's like. Almost like it's an accident. No, it's,
but he's going to die anyway. Like he's not going to listen to him.
What?
Hold on.
You know, if somebody's going to jump into the fire, it's not like they're going to fall.
Yeah, because he has a gun to his head.
Doesn't he have a gun?
Gun to his head?
He had guns.
Really?
All right. So,
they had laser rifle.
Mickey, it was a Spanish armada.
Okay, guys. Anyway, so Amar Paul L'chayra. Shh. Okay. Quiet, please. So Amar Paul is fallen. He wasn't willing to, you know, he didn't want to acknowledge that it would be this supreme act of self-sacrifice, which a mesiras nefesh, which in itself might have had ripple effects. So Amar Paul, go on, next. Keep going. What's the next one? Who's the next guy? Read the Rashi's. So first pshat Rashi is that Goyim is the name of place. And why does Rashi say Goyim is the name of place? Why does he translate to mean nations? Why does he translate means the name of a place?
He says Melchoyim.
No, so maybe it means Melchoyim of any nations.
Because there were already four kings.
Because there were three other kings.
Because
and each king, no, because each king, it says Melech Shinar, Melech this, and each king is described by the king of the location he's at. Shinar is a location, right? This one's a location. So Goyim should also be a location. It makes sense. There should be some symmetry. This was the first, right? Nimrod, Amraphel is the Melech of this one. And Shinar is the Melech of this one. Right? And each Melech was a Melech over a nation, over a particular country. So it makes sense that Goyim should mean country. Right? Adarabba, it makes more sense to learn that way because that's essentially what the other kings were described as, being kings of. It didn't say how many nations they were over or not. It described where, which location they were king of. All of a sudden here, you're saying Melech is a king of many nations. Why are you changing from direction? So Rashi said, Enechanami Goyim is the name of a place. Or he gives another pshat. Go on. Well, the second shot is at what? The second shot is at what? Rashi is saying that Goyim, the second pshat, means many nations, because Tidal, in fact, was unique in that he wasn't in charge of one nation, he was in charge of many nations. Tidal Melach Goyim means that somehow his influence, his sphere of influence, wasn't just every king used his influence over his country. But Tidal was unique in that he was a Melech of many Goyim. Why the Torah tells us this and why that's important information, we'll find out tomorrow.